This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Ian leading off here in the 11th. Swing and a miss. Plesac strikes out Ozzie Guillen.
There you see it. Hard slider. Ozzie does not hang around to see if this thing's going to break, but it is nasty. Down and away. Just a perfect pitch.
Welcome back to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. David Haw, Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. That was a highlight going way back. They played that, I believe, on CHSN yesterday. That was Dan Plesac striking out Ozzie Guillen, who had a 3-for-17 lifetime success, or I guess failure, against Dan Plesac, a lefty in the majors for 18 seasons.
That's amazing. That was fun.
It was fun to hear Ozzie talk about that highlight or low light, because it was something he got a kick out of, and he said he was tired of being the pinata. Ozzie was tired of being a pinata, which brings us out to The Score's hotline, brought to you by Aturo Tires. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. That's where we find the MLB Network analyst, the White Sox analyst for CHSN this year, doing 21 games for the White Sox. And let's face it, local guy Maine Good, the pride of Crown Point, Indiana, region guy Dan Plesac. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Dave, how you doing? I had a wonderful day yesterday. I tell you, the weather's been so bad here in the Northeast, and it was like a perfect sunny Memorial Day in Flushing, Queens yesterday, and I had an absolute blast doing that White Sox game yesterday. It felt like, you know, Dave, I grew up a White Sox fan, and spent a couple of years playing with the Cubs, did the Cubs pre- and post-game, and I remember when I signed as a free agent in the winter of 92, and I signed with the Cubs, my family wanted to disown me. So I came up with this idea that we were at. So for a Christmas photo, I bought a bunch of Cub hats. And we were all going to take a family photo. My dad, my brothers, my uncle, nobody would put the Cub hat on. I had the hat on. They held the hat, but they refused to put it on. So yesterday, I finally felt like, okay, I can really be a you know what I told the producers in the year before the game, the first time I always wanted to wear a White Sox uni, and it took me 40 years, Dave, but I finally got a chance to wear one yesterday.
You did a great job, John Shriffin. You did a terrific job of bringing some energy at that. It was obvious your enthusiasm, Dan. But I also, before we get to what you did yesterday in this Sox team, you were in the majors for 18 seasons. You pitched for six different teams. How did you not end up with a stint with the White Sox?
I have no idea. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I actually thought, I think it was 1995, I was with the Pirates. I was on the last year of a two-year deal, and it's spring training. I was rumored to be, I was going to be on the trade block, you know, before spring training ended. And I remember Ron Shuler came to a game, and I remember Jim Leland talking to me in the outfield, who was then the manager, said, listen, there's a lot of teams that interest you. I know Shuler wants you, but, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I hope they pull the trigger and move me there. One day, all I wanted to do was I wanted to pitch at the corner 35th and Shields. Just, I wanted to play one season for the White Sox. Never had a chance to do it. It was my favorite team growing up as a kid. Bill Belton was my favorite player. I was a whole Britt Burns, Richard Dotson, that whole group. And so yesterday I felt like I fulfilled a little bit of the lifelong baseball dream yesterday anyway.
Yeah, Dan, you had a great game to call, too. I mean, it was, we keep using this word, the White Sox are just, they look competitive. They're hanging in there. Obviously, a game against the Mets at Citi Field is, you were a little worried heading into that game. But you got an outstanding performance from Hauser again. What impressed you the most about the way the White Sox were able to hang in there yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was really impressed with Hauser. His first start last week at home at Wrigley Field was good against the Mariners. And, you know, I was excited. I had seen him pitch several times when he was with Milwaukee. You know, covering baseball at a national level, I'm pretty familiar. I don't get to watch every guy every day, but I was familiar with Hauser. Really impressive again yesterday. Fastball command, curveball was good, mixed in the changeup, and that's a good lineup he faced yesterday in the Mets. My takeaway from yesterday was simply this. It was a case of a team that has a built identity of winning. When you run Francisco Lindor, you have Pete Alonso, you have Juan Soto, who they gave over $700 million to, they just have more ways to win games. And if they make mistakes, they can get away with it because they just have a lot more firepower. And for the White Sox, when they play a team like the Mets, they play a team like the Rangers, you go back to that Sunday game that ended the homestand, that was a game that, if you had an experienced team, you had an experienced bullpen, and you're not moving guys from first base to third base, positional changes, that you win those games. And you go back to 2005, and you go back 4 or 5 years ago, and it's hard for a White Sox fan to feel like we're consistently in all of these games. And I will say this, the record is similar to last year, but this team is light years ahead of, and the organization is way ahead of where they were a year ago. It's going to get better. It's painful watching it till it gets better. And you could go back the last 2 weeks. There were 4 or 5 games that the White Sox have lost that they probably should have won. And in a year or two, they probably will win those games. But you're trying to win, but you're also trying to develop. And it was just kind of, to me, that was a game yesterday of a team that's established team. When you go into the ninth inning in a tie game and you could bring Diaz in if you're the Mets. And the White Sox are kind of in this transition of like a couple of the guys in the bullpen have pitched a couple of days, so they were down yesterday. And it was just a case of a team that's put together to win right now and a team that's put together to figure out, okay, who's going to be around when we're good again? And how can we get gradually better every day? And that's simply what it was for me yesterday. A team ready to win and a team that's trying to win down the road.
Talking with Dan Plesac, the analyst for MLB Network, familiar voice here on The Score. Also in the booth for the Chicago Sports Network, calling 21 Sox games this year. His first was yesterday. Sox lost to the Mets. So, Dan, when you look at Will Venable, outside of Chicago, before he managed his first game for the White Sox, what was his reputation and what makes you think nationally that people believe that he is the right guy for a job that is a tough one?
Well, you go back and as a player, he was an overachiever as a player, right? Smart guy, went to Princeton and had to, you know, make it the hard way. It wasn't like he was a silver spoon guy, first round pick, signed for, you know, millions of dollars. I think the cool thing, I had a chance to talk to him before the game, just briefly. I'll get a chance to talk to him a little bit more today. He was running on a tight schedule yesterday. He gets the whole thing. He gets that they're trying to develop, but he wants to develop and he wants to win at the same time. And there's a really good chain there between him and Chris Getz. They're on board of where they need to go, what they need to do. And I think you just speaking a little bit yesterday that, you know, there have been games that he's frustrated that they haven't won, that they could have won or should have won. It's part of the process and it's never easy. And I think you have to get the right guy and to get an established veteran manager. I don't know how well those kind of guys would operate when you're in an organization that's in transition. When you're used to winning, you could bring Jim Leland, you could bring Sparky Anderson, you could bring anybody you want to name. And this is a tough situation to manage because you're trying to develop players, you're trying to teach, you're trying to let them learn. You have to leave them out there, let them fail so they'll learn from the experience. And they're better than they were last year. And I know you could point at the record and say, well, it's eerily similar to last year. But if you go back and you look, and I was looking at just doing some data before the game, looking on my phone, and you look at the lineup in AAA yesterday, several of the players that were in that lineup were in that White Sox lineup and in that rotation and that bullpen last year. So they've kind of, they're a better team now. And I think when you're trying to develop players and you're trying to figure out where you want to go, you really have to make players feel comfortable with where they're at. And I think that great communication skills. I mean, he's not a guy that he might not be the greatest soundbite ever. If you have to get, some audio or video before or after the game, he's kind of directed to the point. But there's a calm to him. And I came out of the office yesterday, from the outside looking in, you see a team that's struggling and you think you'll see frustration all over face or you'll hear anger before a game, especially at the national level. I'll go in when I was doing games or showcase games, and the managers will level with you and they'll give you information that they don't want you to share on air, ask them about a certain guy in the bullpen or why is this guy struggling? And, you can tell there's some frustration. There was frustration yesterday with Will, but there was also, he understands it's part of the learning curve. It's part of getting better. And I just think he's the right guy at the right time for this organization right now. And I do think things are getting better. The minor league system is far better than it was 2 years ago. I give Chris Getz a lot of credit for holding on to Crochet. There were a lot of teams, the Dodgers in particular, that were kicking the door down trying to acquire him. And there were a lot of people who thought that Chris Getz was crazy for not moving him at the deadline. But he played his cards right, and he knew going into the season. You get till November, December, teams, they kind of feel like, hey, we're going to be okay next year. And then other teams are making moves. The Yankees, they bring in Max Fried. They bring in Goldschmidt. And all of a sudden, if you're the Red Sox and you want to be competitive, you're like, oh, no. They lost Soto, but they're picking up in other areas. And if you want to be competitive, and the price was just as high at the trade deadline as it was during the winter meetings, and Chris Getz did a marvelous job of acquiring a lot of talent, and they're already seeing some of the benefits of those players, and they're going to see more in the future. They're definitely headed in the right direction. It's painful to watch the losses, but the team's moving in the right direction.
An example I think of sort of what you're saying about Will Venable was this weekend when they had a chance to sweep the Rangers, and Venable said after the game, we aren't happy with 2 out of 3. And some of the other guys were even sort of echoing that messaging. Everybody's ticked off, I think, was one of the quotes. Is that something, as a former player, does that feel like there's consistent sort of a culture building there as well?
No question. I think you hit the nail right on the head. It's a tough spot to be in when you feel like you're in a lot of games and you just can't make that one big play, get that one big out. And when you look at the way this team is built right now, and you go back, you look at the White Sox teams from 5, 6 years ago that were near the top of the AL Central, and you go back to the World Series teams, they were built to win right away. You had Bobby Jenks at the back end of the bullpen. You had several quality veteran options to get you through the 7th and the 8th inning, and it almost becomes kind of a free-for-all now. Like, you'd like to save those guys that, as Craig Counsell, the Cubs, calls them, your out-getters. You'd like to have a couple of guys that you can go to in tie games, close games, guys that you can bring in when there are runners in scoring position in the seventh or eighth inning that know how to get out of a jam, can get a ground ball double play, they can get a strikeout. Right now, the Whites, they're just not built like that right now because they're trying to teach, they're trying to develop. And listen, it is what it is. There was a veteran team in the Mets, and, you know, look at the Rangers. That's a veteran lineup, but they've had some issues with their bullpen. I look at it this way. As doom and gloom as baseball can appear to be at times, I go back to that great article and that cover story about the Houston Astros were going to win the World Series, and that was the laughing stock. How could you pick the Astros? And you go back to 2012, 13, 14 with the Cubs. If some of the young position players hit, Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, then what do you do? Then if you feel like, okay, we're close, you go out and spend money. You bring in John Lester. You bring in Joe Maddon. And I think you'll see the same thing. The White Sox have never been afraid to spend money. And it's hard to do because when you're in the AL Central, I mean, the Tigers look like they're the best team clearly in the Central. But that division has been so winnable for the last 5 or 6 years that you try to put a Band-Aid on it. You spend and hope that we can fix it really quick because we're not that far away. And the longer this thing went, like 2019, 2020, and all of a sudden you're trying to Band-Aid it, it's not working. And then you have to say, okay, we need to do a complete reset. And this is kind of like phase two of the reset right now. It will get better, but a lot of it's going to depend on the players they acquired and the gets traded. Some of the top minor league players, you need to hit home runs with your high draft picks. And if that happens, then you could start spending money and feel like you're spending money wisely because you're spending it in a way to help the nucleus that's already good, and that will get them over the hump. So things will get better. They're getting better. It's just going to take time.
Meanwhile, Dan, you know it's a two-team town because you were the engineer of the Big Blue Train for a couple of years doing pre and post for the Cubs. Have to ask you about this Cub team at this point of the season. They are looking like a team that has designs on going deep in October. They're looking like a team that, with a move here or a move there, could be, dare I say, a World Series contender. Do you view the Cubs that way? Do you think that is overstating it, or do you think that Jed Hoyer is one move away from putting the team in a position to say that?
Offensively, I think they're as good as any team in baseball. They can score runs in bunches, but I don't know if they have enough pitching depth. Losing Steele for the year is a huge blow. Imanaga had a little slight setback with a leg injury. Dave, I don't know if they have enough pitching. Do they have enough pitching to win the Central? Probably yes. The Reds have had a down year up to now. I was surprised. I thought this was going to be the year that the Reds would be a contender, bring in Terry Francona, all the young position players. They're having a hard time scoring runs. I'm not sure if the Cardinals can continue to win at the pace they're playing at. The Pirates can't score any runs. They have good enough pitching. What scares me is the Cubs are going to have to do something now or near the trade deadline because I don't think consistently. Can they win the division? Yes. Can they go deep into the postseason? I'm not so sure about that because after Imanaga and Jameson Taillon, who's been good, but then right when he strings together 4 or 5 really good starts, he throws a clunker in there. I just don't know right now the way the roster is made up. Love the lineup. They can hit. I think there's some issues in the rotation, and they've got to get some issues with the bullpen. This is the problem, Dave. There's going to be about 15 teams that are hunting for the same thing that the Cubs are looking for. And so unless they can upgrade the pitching, can they win the Central? Yes. Can they go deep? I'm not so sure.
Are you having as much fun watching Pete Crow Armstrong as we are?
He's a tremendous player. I'll tell you, I came out opening day. We came up with a list. We had to say, like, hey, you know, shockers, give me something out of the blue that will surprise people. And I remember sitting in the meeting, our pre-show meeting with the producers. You pick one player and you pick a guy. And I said, I watched the end of spring training. And I thought to myself, I watched the last 4 or 5 games of the Cactus League. And I thought, man, this Pete Crow Armstrong, if he brings some power into his game, I made a prediction that he was going to start for the National League at center field in the All-Star game. And after I said it, I thought, well, I'm going to look like a moron. And he's made me look pretty good right now. Tremendous player. I mean, think about it. he has the potential to be a legitimate 30 home run guy. He's going to steal 50 plus bags. He's hitting, you know, 265, 270. He could go get him in the outfield. He's as good a defender in center field as there is in a game. He can go back on a ball. He gets to the ball that's between the infield and outfield. Closing speed, he can get to it. And normally if he gets to it, he catches it. He's got a chance to be a big-time player. The Cubs have a couple of big decisions, in my opinion. Do they lock up Kyle Tucker? They try to bring him back? Or do they try to lock up Pico Armstrong? I don't know if they could do both, but Armstrong looks like he's going to be around for a while.
6:10 tonight, Citi Field in Queens. Jonathan Cannon for the White Sox, Tyler McGill for the Mets. CHSN will be there because Dan Plesac will be in the booth. And Dan, can you do me a favor tonight? I know you're in the same booth where Hawk once sat, so you're going to drop a mercy at some point tonight.
I will. You know what? And I might do that just for you, Dave. That or hell yes. Who wants the butt?
Mercy. Yeah. There you
hell
go.
Yeah.
Dan, thanks for your time this morning. Great job yesterday. Looking forward to your 20 games left to broadcast White Sox games and fulfill your childhood dream for the team you grew up rooting for. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Dan.
You got it. Thanks for having me on. Thanks.
Dan Plesac from MLB Network and CHSN. Guy has so much
awesome.
Fun. Yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Good stuff on the Cubs. Good stuff on the White Sox. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Listen, he might end up being what the Bears haven't had in forever, which is a long time franchise quarterback, top 10 guy. I would just say I would be discouraged at this point in the process, right? I would say it would be more surprising to me. Like, if I had to bet,
yeah,
okay, is Caleb Williams going to be the Bears' starting quarterback in 3 years? I'd probably bet no if I had to bet yes or wow. No right now.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. That was Ross Tucker Friday on our show, lighting a match and setting aflame the future of Caleb Williams. No, I think that Ross is highly respected, as we had said, reasonable. He studies. He's rational. He's not a hot take guy.
And he's plugged in.
He's definitely plugged in. Which is why I guess him coming off as strong as he did about the future of Caleb Williams and what it won't be and what it can't be surprised me a little bit. Because to suggest that the quarterback who his rookie year was uneven, but it wasn't unsuccessful from an individual standpoint, there was progress to look at to say that you can build off of. It wasn't a total disaster. It was disappointing. Because the record was what it was, and he had issues that were partly his fault and partly the fault of not having support. But I don't think I saw what he saw in terms of projecting he's not going to be your quarterback in 3 years.
Yeah, that's a hot take. I think it's just too soon to say. I think I understand where he's coming from in terms of the concern of the noise and the distraction that surrounds someone like Caleb Williams, considering he hasn't really done anything in the NFL yet to like create the stir. And I think that's sort of where I felt Ross was coming from, is this is more, these are red flags about his personality and his leadership style than it is about the kind of player he is necessarily. I'm going to disagree with you. I think it was a disaster last year, and not just all on him. But I think, of course, the situation he was put into was less than ideal. But what happened last year to lose 10 straight games with the number one overall pick, the consensus number one overall pick, let's remember, who everyone said was the number one overall pick. I think that's what was so disappointing.
Disastrous.
And if you recall the conversation heading into last year was, never has a number one overall pick walked into such a great situation.
Right, right. Right?
And it blew up in everyone's face.
Well, I know, but disaster to me is you conclude after 17 games, which, by the way, he started all 17.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, you would conclude after all 17 games that he's not your guy. That would be disastrous, because disaster to me is worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And when you have a quarterback who maybe wasn't as explosive or consistent as you would like, but still threw for 20 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions, had a respectable completion percentage and a respectable quarterback rating, I do think that there were signs of progress and there was reason for hope. And I don't think that it would qualify to me as a disastrous start. It was maybe something that fell well short of expectations from people like me who built them up to maybe be disappointed. But with Caleb Williams, you feel like he's the right coach away from taking that next step.
Oh, yeah.
And they just hired the right coach.
That was sort of how I'm going to turn the page here, is saying I don't think I could feel any better about the people in place to get the most out of him.
Right.
So you're going to know very quickly this year, I think.
I think you'll know quickly, but I also think we're going to rush that. We're going to want to rush that. We're going to see things before maybe they're fair to evaluate. But I understand the sentiment because that's the way pro sports work. And I think people wonder, you know, what did you see? Why are you saying that? How could you believe, you know, they were 5-12, they lost 10 in a row, and he was the reason why he wasn't, you know, he held on to the ball too long. All those things are true. I also think that despite the adversity that he faced on a regular basis, you're talking about a young quarterback, a rookie, that did lead his team back in the 100%. Fourth quarter, and he was that guy that you could count on to make a play in the clutch. They just couldn't close the job. They couldn't finish it because of things that were outside of his control. So what he could control in the fourth quarter, when we evaluate quarterbacks, I'm trying to be consistent here. Mm-hmm. Why did they get rid of, well, I don't want to reopen the door to Justin Fields, but one of the things that they didn't like about Justin Fields or couldn't live with was his inability to lead a team back in the fourth quarter. Caleb Williams did that. His defense just couldn't protect those leads.
And I think that was perhaps the most surprising and exciting part of his. We knew why he won the Heisman Trophy. It was because he has this God-given ability, natural talent, ability to make plays, extend plays, move in the pot, etc. What was so surprising and exciting, I think, about the idea of Caleb Williams being the quarterback of the future was exactly that. His fourth quarter, clutch moments. And that's, I think, where you look and you say, okay, if he can put it all together, mm-hmm. this could be really special.
Well, I think you still believe that. So that's why I think that you come out of last season disappointed but not discouraged totally. You have something to build on, and I think you're going to see that as he and Ben Johnson grow together. Now, this week, they get another opportunity to do that. They are returning back to OTAs today, organized team activities. The NFL's excuse to own the news cycle every month of the year. So you get players who come to stay in shape, to get sharp and learn the offense because, you know, one of the things that Caleb Williams has to grasp before we can evaluate his play on the field is calling plays and learning this offense, which is a whole new verbiage and a whole new set of play calls and a whole new order to call them in. So I think that's the one thing you don't want to take for granted with a young quarterback.
And we know that that was an issue last year, last offseason, the operation of getting the play in the huddle, the cadence, those were words that we heard frequently. I don't know this for sure. I haven't seen the playbook, but I can bet confidently that Ben Johnson's playbook is going to be a little bit more complex than Shane Waldron's, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so.
So you want to make sure that you're putting him in a good position. You're teaching him how to watch film.
It's kind of like algebra versus math or trigonometry versus algebra or calculus versus
this is the next jump. This is the next level.
It is the next level.
But you also have to be, Ben Johnson has to be able to get the most out of his quarterback. If that means you have to simplify things, I think Ben Johnson will be comfortable doing so.
Quick answer. Do you feel like Caleb Williams needs to speak this week to remove some of these questions surrounding the things his dad said to Seth Wickersham?
Yes, but also doesn't really change how frustrated I was that I didn't hear from him last week. Does that make sense? Like, yes, I want to hear from it this week so we can finally put an end to it. I'm sick of it. It's festering, and it's going to continue to fester until the story's over, until Caleb Williams speaks. But I'm still frustrated that there was no one, whether it was Caleb Williams or anyone within the Bears organization, that said, hey, can you just get up there and just kind of put an end to this? Make sure everyone knows you're pumped about being a Bear and you're going to win here.
He was more significant by his absence than he was by anything he could say.
Completely agree.
Because had he talked about it, it would be probably an even more dead issue than it feels like it is right now, because I really do not care much about what was said before the 2024 NFL draft.
A strong leader of an organization would have said, I'm going to put an end to this because it's a distraction for my team. It's a distraction for my coaches. And all I care about is winning in Chicago. If I'm a leader of a team, I want to get up there and
you think that's
take
his call?
Charge of the narrative.
You
it
think
should
that's his
be.
Call?
It should be.
What if Kevin Warren or Ryan Pohl says, no, it's a pipe down?
I don't pipe think down. That if Caleb Williams went to them and said, I want to do this, they would have said no.
What if Caleb Williams doesn't care what you think of him?
That's, I think, exactly what it is.
All right. So then he has no obligation to?
I think that's a little disappointing, and it's a lack of awareness for the market.
But I don't think that he has shown in his first season a lack of awareness when he's talked behind the microphone. This is somebody who I think on a week-in, week-out basis handled that part of the job extremely well.
I agree. Do you think that it was a lack of awareness that this story came out this week and that that was ever even in a sort of story to begin with?
Again, you know where I stand on this. I am waiting and reserving judgment, because what we're overreacting to in Chicago is what we're attributing to Caleb Williams, when in fact it was his dad who spoke to the author the way that was portrayed. And we don't know if it's his dad's version of what Caleb told him or I.
Then get up and say that.
Okay. He should get up and say that. We can agree there. Let's get out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Keith is in Shorewood. Good morning, Keith. Welcome to Mullinghaw.
Good morning. Good to talk to you. Ruthie, first time I'll be talking to you. And I kind of want to direct my comments right to you. I want to draw this parallel, and hopefully it'll make sense. When you look at the Cubs this year and what they were last year, and you look at some of the addition by subtraction on that team and what that team is now, you can draw the same comparison to the Bears. I don't think it's fair to put Caleb Williams in this box that it's all his fault. The interior of the line got decimated on defense. They've made changes on defense to make that team better. Obviously, the coaching upgrade is going to be a big deal. It's going to make a difference. Hopefully, he'll be able to take on all that. Yeah, it's wait and see to see if he does. But to make the comment that it was a complete disaster, I don't know. I think the team was a disaster. I think the results were a disaster. But I don't think Caleb Williams was a disaster. I think when you're that young of a player and all of a sudden your defense can hold a lead and can't do what they need to do, that puts pressure on the team. Look at the Cubs last year offensively compared to what they are this year. They're more relaxed because that team is better. They don't have to worry about a pitching staff that's lost their number one and number two starters right now, and they're still playing at a high level because they're a relaxed team. I want to see a Bears team that is relaxed with a good coach and with the player who I believe will be a good quarterback for this league for years to come.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah, Keith, thanks so much for the phone call. And I'll clarify. I mean, I'm not saying that everything was Caleb's fault by any means. That is not at all what I'm saying. But the season was a disaster. The coach got fired. Like, that's rock bottom for an organization when the coach gets fired midseason.
Yeah, I think that's true. The way that it went down as well was disastrous.
It was disastrous
end to the Matt Eberflus era.
Yeah.
Within that disaster, though, I think that there were some things that you could look at. If you're Ben Johnson, you come in and you look at the tape and you're like, oh, God, what am I doing here? No, I think that you see some things that you think, okay, I can help him. I can live with that. I can do this. I can do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I think made this job attractive. I maintained throughout the process, if you were a head coach trying to look at the Bears job, Caleb Williams was the number one reason why it would appeal to you.
Yes.
So Ben Johnson is here in part because he's a Cub fan and Caleb Williams was here.
Yeah, he better be excited about Caleb. You know, I mean, that's what this is. It's going to be a partnership between the two of you. Now, if it doesn't work out with Caleb, I think Ben Johnson will get to go get a guy. I'm not saying that that's really, I don't want to even want to go there yet.
Okay,
because
Ross.
I don't want to go there yet. I am excited about Caleb Williams. To clarify, to Keith and to whoever else thinks that I'm down on Caleb, I am very excited about what this year could look like with Ben Johnson in charge.
Tune in to Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody tomorrow, 10 to 2 for a live broadcast from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. They'll be joined by Ian Happ for the 12 o'clock hour to talk Cubs and the baseball life. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon. Learn more about Verizon's deal for Military Appreciation Month at your local Verizon store. It's time for Mike Florio next on Mullinghaw with Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't beat, beat!
We can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's happening to Gator?
Gator! NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. We always enjoy our time with Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring, Aturo.com. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing great. How's everybody today?
Doing well.
We're great.
Back to work Tuesday, getting ready to go. Bears back at OTAs at Halas Hall. On Friday, Mike, Ross Tucker, highly respected analyst, shared...
Well, that's debatable.
Okay.
I know Ross.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He does a terrific job. And he expressed the opinion that he wouldn't be shocked if in 3 years Caleb Williams is not the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. He kind of lit a match, and we had a fun day Friday debating that throughout the different shows on this station. What would you say to that kind of projection?
Well, if we look at it literally, wouldn't be shocked if he's not the quarterback in 3 years. Would we be shocked if any young quarterback who has yet to reach his ceiling is gone from the team that picked him within 3 years? That's more than enough time in today's NFL for a player to show whether or not he's going to skew toward being a top 10 quarterback, a consistent contender, a potential franchise guy. So would I be shocked? No, because you look around the league. I mean, the only guy from last year that made it clear he's on track to be a franchise quarterback is Jaden Daniels. The rest of the guys taken, except for J.J. McCarthy, who didn't play, they've shown enough that they're on the pass side of the line. Bo Nix took the Broncos to the playoffs. He's moving in the right direction. Caleb Williams, yeah, it's going to work out or it's not with Ben Johnson. So I don't, when I look at that literally, I don't have a problem with it. The question is, what do we think is going to happen with Ben Johnson there, with the commitment to offense that the Bears haven't had? Most of their coaches have been defensive over the years since Mike Ditka. It's been defense with a couple of exceptions, Mark Trestman and who else? Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. So they're making a full commitment to the offensive side of the ball. We're going to find out quickly whether or not Caleb Williams is the guy that the Bears drafted him to be.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers got up in front of country music artist. It was at a concert and answered some questions about if he's ever going to play for the Bears. He said no, but he might be playing against the Bears this year. Why is he continuing to drag his feet and drag this story along?
Because, Ruthie, he can. That's the key. The Steelers are the guy, and like some of their fans get upset when I say this, but it's 100% true. They're the guy who's dropped to a knee with the public proposal, with the engagement ring out, and they've been in that position for 2 months waiting for an answer. They're not going to move on. They got Mason Rudolph. Rodgers can take as long as he wants. Rodgers can wait as long as he wants. Brett Favre didn't show up in Minnesota in 2009 until halfway through training camp, and it was an issue. Remember, there was a schism in the locker room. Is it Tavares Jackson? Is it Brett Favre? Brett Favre starts throwing passes. Oh, okay, now we know why. Now we know why they waited so long for Brett Favre. So Rodgers has some flexibility here. The only problem is if they struggle, if he doesn't show up until training camp starts or during training camp, and I don't know when he's going to show up again, whenever he wants. If they struggle this year, there will be people who say if he just would have been more prepared, maybe they would have been in a better position to win games. That's the risk he's taking. But they start their OTAs today. They have six before they have a three-day mandatory mini camp. I'd like to think that if Rodgers is going to play, he's going to get there at some point before the offseason program ends. But what are the Steelers going to do if he doesn't? Are they going to say, fine, we're done, we'll go with Mason Rudolph instead?
Mike, 20 more teams begin OTAs today. The seven with new coaches have already begun. The Bengals back to work in Cincinnati. What are the chances that Trey Hendrickson is either they're having another press conference torching his ownership and his coach, or where is this story headed, do you think, next?
Well, I tried to lay this out a week and a half ago. He's got very limited options because at the end of the day, depriving the Bengals of his services doesn't matter to the Bengals. Some teams, you know, like the 49ers, they'll have holdouts, and then right before the start of the season, the coach goes to the front office and says, we got to work this out, and they get it worked out. I mean, the Bengals are the team that when Carson Palmer was done, they said, fine, go. We don't care. We don't have to pay you. We'll keep your salary. Fine by us. So I think Trey Hendrickson, if he doesn't take whatever the best offer is the Bengals put on the table, if he doesn't decide to just play out this year of his contract and see what happens next year, if he holds out, he runs the risk of being this year's version of Hassan Reddick, who held out, racked up a bunch of money in fines, missed game checks, and the Jets didn't blink. The Bengals are far less likely to blink. The only thing he has in his favor, Joe Burrow spoke out about it recently and said he deserves market value, he deserves what he wants. They're trying their best to keep Joe Burrow happy. They paid three of the four guys he named earlier this year that he wanted to see paid, tight end Mike Gesicki and receivers Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. We'll see if they pay Hendrickson, but Burrow is the wild card here. But you know what? If they don't give Hendrickson the deal he wants, he really doesn't have many options because the Bengals will not blink over the threat or the reality of Hendrickson not showing up.
Mike, the tush push lives on. Are you surprised at some of the teams that had those late flips?
Well, I'm surprised that they managed to get 10 teams to vote to keep it because the league wanted this thing gone. We reported after the vote was taken that, and I think plenty of people suspected this, Coach Matt LaFleur had hinted at it, the league recruited the Packers to be the team that proposed this. I think that when the NFC Championship happened and there was that sequence where Washington kept jumping offside, I think somebody decided this play's got to go. It's got to go. We got to get rid of this. Mike Pereira, the former VP of officiating who now works for Fox, he said in the days after the NFC Championship, he thought that moment was going to spark a renewed push to get rid of the play. So I think the league believed they were going to have the 24 votes. I saw a reporter or quote somewhere that when they went in to do the vote, nobody knew what way it was going to go. And if the league thought it was going to lose, they would have withdrawn it. They thought they were going to win. So the big takeaway for me is this. The league only has two teams whose arms need to be twisted between now and next March. And I fully suspect that they're going to try it again next year. Unless they decide this year we're fine with it, I think that they're going to make another run to get rid of it. And my guess right now would be they're not going to like it anymore next year than they dislike it this year, and they'll try to get rid of it next year, and they'll try to get two teams to change their minds.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Have a great week.
See you.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. When we come back, John Heyman from the MLB Network will join us and talk about the Cubs and Sox and all things baseball here on Mullion Hall with Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today. Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.